Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're back at the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, thanks for joining us. Been looking forward to having Pat Malacaro join us for some time. His inaugural visit in here at the sports bars. He's covering the Buffalo Sabres for our radio.com sports sister station WGR in Buffalo. Pat, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
So, Don, great to join you here today. It's going to be an interesting one tonight, I think, for the Sabres and the Avalanche.
Yeah, Pat, I mean, the comments today from Ralph Kruger, can we read anything into that when he's talking about illness or anything? Might there be a surprise scratcher tonight?
Well, I think that's what the feeling's going to be is what 11 and 7 are going to be on the ice, because Saturday it was Brandon Montour who had a maintenance day on Friday, tried to give it a go in warm-ups, and you know, didn't notice anything out of the ordinary, and all of a sudden, boom, Lawrence Pilot's in the lineup, and Pilot performed pretty well. So we'll see if for Johan Larson, I think he might be maybe the one to watch, so to speak, during warm-ups today to see if he's on a line combination on the ice at all and what things kind of shake out.
All right, Pat, so let's say Larson is out. Does that do anything to Gergensen's? Do we see Gergensen's up on the top line? What do we know about who will be on that line with Sam and with Jack?
Yeah, it'd be similar to the lineup yesterday. So I think Jeff Skinner moved off of the line with Frolik and Marcus Johansson. So I'll be interested to see, because if that line breaks up, I know they haven't scored yet, but I really believe that those three guys had a pretty good chemistry over the first three games or two and a half games after Skinner got moved up to the top line last Thursday against Montreal. I've liked that, and when the Sabres are looking for the secondary scoring, that really could have been the line going forward that really starts to pick up a lot of that weight for Buffalo with those three veterans.
Mike, we're joined in the sports bar by our friend Pat Malacaro from WGR, as he is in for Paul Hamilton tonight on the Sabres Report. Pat, as far as last week, and there was some anger from the Sabre fan base. Has that died down, or still people kind of riled up about where this team is at here as we are entering the month of February?
Yeah, they're still not happy. I think, you know, winning a game that was pretty ugly on Saturday helps a little bit. I thought they played better on Thursday than they did on Saturday, and just maybe caught a Columbus team that coming off their 10-day bye week wasn't getting in the flow of things. But you pick up the win for Carter Hutton. He had gone 12 starts without a win. You go all the way back to, what, October, the last time you won a game. So it's always that snowball effect for not picking up wins. You come out of the bye, you'll come out flat. You, even against Montreal, don't look all that great, but you were starting to look better, and then you don't have any points to show for it. I think the win Saturday against the Columbus team that's in the playoffs right now, and then Colorado, who look, they stunned Calgary last year in the playoffs and looked like they were going to pick up where they left off and be a cup contender out of the Western Conference. If you win this game tonight, then I think people are going to start thinking that maybe you can put a little bit of a run here together.
Now, Pat, and you mentioned that, you know, maybe the Sabres caught a Columbus team napping a little bit after their bye. I mean, are you going to be able to have that same kind of luxury against a Colorado team that, hey, listen, their game, what do we know about tonight's opponent, the Colorado Avalanche? Break it down for us.
Well, I mean, they're a team that they score a lot. They give up a lot of goals, too. If it's Philip Grubauer in goal, which the expectation is, he has not been number one goalie material, so to speak, this year. Their backup has really been much better in terms of in between the pipes. So maybe the Sabres can get 3-4 goals. They're a much better home scoring team than they are on the road, Buffalo, that is. So take advantage of Philip Grubauer, because you look at the scores. They're a streaky team to begin with, Colorado. They'll go on a run of winning three games, and they get blown out by Philadelphia on Saturday 6-3. So, you know, they might be right in the right for picking right now. And if you're the Sabres, you've got to score, because you know Colorado with McKinnon, Rantanen, and you name the list of their offensive threats, they're going to get their chances.
Pat Malacaro. You'll hear his reports tonight as the Sabres home against Colorado. Of course, here in Rochester, we're very familiar with Jonas Johansson, but it doesn't look like he's going to get any action here, at least until Carter Hutton trips up. Carter Hutton finally turning that corner. What does it say about Hutton's performance Saturday and maybe getting some more work? Will that help him kind of get back to what he was there, Pat?
I think so, and it really, that's the guy you felt the worst for on Thursday, if that's the right way to put it, because I thought in all three games coming out of the bye, Carter Hutton has done enough for this Sabres team, and especially on Thursday to keep the Sabres in it, even though he gave up two goals in the second, and then the Sabres lose to Montreal. But I feel like just that weight is off his shoulders now, and you could see his teammates on Saturday really rallying around him after he got the victory. I'll be interested on Thursday what the Sabres end up doing, what Ralph Kruger does, because you've got the game tonight, you've got the back-to-backs, Detroit, and then in New York against the Rangers Friday, and then you're back at it on Sunday again. Maybe Jonas Johansson, that's an opportunity on Thursday against Detroit, where you give Carter Hutton a night off, he gets the 2 days of rest going into the Ranger game, and then another day off before Sunday. And if I were planning out a goalie schedule, that's kind of how I would set up my week.
Yeah, I mean, Jonas Johansson's used to playing AHL teams. Go ahead and start him against Detroit. Pat Malacaro, covering the Sabres for WGR, our guest here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Pat, I'm wondering if the Sabres are getting healthier, if you have any updates on some of the injuries. Kyle Pozo, are we any closer to seeing the return of Victor Olofsson? What do you know in terms of the health of the Buffalo Sabres?
Unfortunately, those two injuries specifically are still a couple of weeks away. Olofsson is getting closer. For Kyle Pozo, the good news, I guess, is immediately Ralph Kruger let us know it was not concussion related. It's an upper body injury, but when it happened last week, Kruger kind of motioned between the shoulders and the waist. So whatever it is there, the Sabres were optimistic it might only be a game or two, but on Saturday he did say that Oposo is going to miss weeks. So does that mean through the month of February we could I think that's a definite possibility. I mentioned Brandon Montour earlier. He's going to be one of those we'll be keeping an eye on if he gets on the ice tonight for warmups, because the team didn't practice. They're one of those teams now that is going away from the morning skate. So yesterday it was a maintenance day for Montour and Rasmus Dahlin. So those two were testing it out a little bit today, and an optional workout, so to speak. And so injury-wise, the Sabres, they're not getting any closer to some of those long-term injuries, but especially for the defensive side of things, getting Montour back in and keeping Donnelly in the lineup is definitely important for them.
It's a shame, Pat, that the Sabre team right now 10 points out, considering the season that Jack Eichel is having. What's your opinion on what you're seeing out of the team captain here for Buffalo, and how much? I mean, it's not too soon to start kicking around who might be the league MVP here. Is Eichel worthy of being in that conversation? He's at that level, but the team is not.
Yeah, I think he's in the conversation. I don't know that he is. It's hard if you're not a playoff team. I get it. Like, if you're the most valuable player to your team, that's the most important part of it, and there's no doubt Jack Eichel is. He's in the conversation. He'll probably get plenty of votes, maybe find himself in Vegas for the award ceremony. I look at the season Jack Eichel is having, and I think we're seeing the maturation of Eichel from year to year. Being a young captain, having to learn what that means, given and a long-term contract with all the added pressure that comes with that responsibility, it's a lot to take on, and not every player can handle it. And it takes some players, I think, longer than others to kind of come around and grow into that role. And especially this year, you're not seeing the in-game frustrations, I'll put it, that you used to see from Jack Eichel when, a shift wasn't going his way, or, maybe the stick gets knocked out of his hands and he's frustrated, doesn't get a call, and kind of, just glides back to the bench. And that the body language wasn't always, what you wanted to see. And that happens to the best of them. But I think what you're seeing now from Michael on and off the ice is a very consistent leader. And I think for Sabre fans, yeah, you're disappointed that the Sabres are 10 points out and you might be losing out on what could be a great season from Jack Eichel. But I don't think it's going to trend in the other direction anytime soon either.
Pat, there's a third guy that I would list as an untouchable for the Sabres. Jack, obviously, Rasmus Dahlin. I also like what we're seeing along the same lines of what you're talking about, watching the growth and development and maturation of a player right before our very eyes, a guy who's had a better season year after year after year, and that's Sam Reinhart. Talk about Sam Reinhart's play this year. How much of that is credit to being on the line with Jack? And at some point, will you see Sam Reinhart in Buffalo, you know, given that, you know, well, let's see what happens this offseason with his restricted free agency, but will Sam Reinhart someday be that guy that could be the cornerstone to a second line and be productive in that role as well?
I think it's an interesting question because I think Jason Botterill has to decide how much the Sabres, in terms of the cap situation, they can live with, because you've got Eichel for $10 million, you've got Jeff Skinner for $9 million, you're going to have to sign a guy like Dahlin coming up in a couple of years, and what, after next offseason, you're going to have to sign some of your young players. So this bridge deal for Sam Reinhart was perfect. And I guess to me, the question is, what kind of parameters are Sam and his representatives kind of looking for going forward? Because you can kind of see a scenario play out where the Sabres will have to decide. And I think Sam has put together, after last year, putting together a full season where he was, from pretty much start to finish, a consistent offensive threat for the team. Again, he's doing similar this year. I just don't know where he fits in long-term, you know, given some of the other situations the Sabres are going to have to deal with. But maybe you decide you want to keep Sam Reinhart at whatever the conversation is in terms of the numbers, and you can move some salary out in other ways to make that happen. I just don't know yet.
Pat Malicaro, our guest, WGR Sabres hosting Colorado tonight. Pat, I was hoping for more than what we've seen so far this season down here in the minors with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but you know, you're coming off a hip surgery. I understand why the Sabres are bringing him along slowly. Can we call him the goaltender of the future yet in this organization, or has Linus Allmark shown you enough this year where you say, and that's somebody that the Sabres will have to make a decision on as well here, that Allmark should be the guy moving forward?
I think he's still trending in the right direction, but I think this injury to Allmark really kind of has to pause my opinion, because it's kind of like the Robin Lehner conversation we were having when he was here with the Sabres. The injuries never really truly allowed us to form an opinion early on whether or not he could be the guy. And I feel like for Linus Allmark, after how he came in the second half of last season, after Carter Hutton started to regress a little bit, it showed you some signs. But until I see a full season, I don't know that he can be the guy. And does that mean, you know, with the way the Sabres are handling Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's injury, that they see him as that next goaltender to maybe challenge for that starting position? So we might be in kind of a little bit of a weird, awkward phase right now, if you want to call it that, for the Sabres goaltending, where, you know, I think there's still a lot to be decided.
Well, you talk about weird and awkward phases. The trade deadline's coming up here at the end of the month, and the Sabres, everybody we talk to, they don't know what to think about the Sabres, whether they're buyers or sellers, and I know a lot of it hinges on how they perform here through the course of the rest of this homestand or this stretch here where they have the majority of their games at home. Pat, I'm curious, do you think the Sabres are buyers or sellers, or do you think that because of the market being what it is and because of this team being what it is right now, that the only thing that they really can do is just stand pat?
Yeah, I think right now it's kind of the boring thing, but I don't see any real big moves that they can make. Maybe you see another trade like Marco Scandella going to Montreal for a pick, and you're able to get Michael Frolik, that money in, money out situation. But besides that, I mean, you know, you're between a rock and a hard place. You've got to put some wins together. If the Sabres don't start picking up points on this 9 out of 10 games here at home, you know, we're in the middle of it now, game, what, 4 of this stretch, then it really puts the pressure on Jason Botterill to maybe see what he can get for some of the veterans that can be role players on other teams. And whether it be draft picks or what have you, maybe trying to bankroll some of those picks for something he can use as capital in June at the draft. That's kind of maybe the only scenario I see happening if the Sabres start to falter.
Now, Pat, in Rochester here, we love our Buffalo teams. We love the Buffalo Bills. We love the Buffalo Sabres. But when it comes to baseball, let's have some fun here. Let's make one thing clear. There's only one team in the International League that's called the Wings, and they play in Rochester, and they are the Rochester Red Wings.
Really battling over food. I mean, like, Buffalo Wings makes sense. I get it. I don't want to. Are we really going to die on this hill, Gino?
I'm dying on this hill. I'm not the only one that feels the same way here, Pat. That's infringement here. You're stepping on our turf, buddy.
I have some good friends over there at Frontier Field, but I'll say this. My favorite memory so far of calling baseball happened at Frontier Field. So that will always hold a special place in my heart, no matter what the throughway rivalry is between Buffalo and Rochester.
What is it? Was it the high-scoring game? What am I trying to think here, what that might be?
I was the first no-hitter in Bison history in 22 years this past year. So it was, yeah. It's just one of those moments you don't see it in baseball anymore, hardly, you know, all kidding aside. It's one of those things where if it had been one of the Red Wings pitchers doing that against Buffalo, that would have easily still been a highlight, because pitchers don't go nine innings anymore, and they don't throw 105 pitches, 110 pitches in nine innings. So it was kind of one of those unique nights at the ballpark.
Well, Pat, you're doing a great job calling and being the voice of the Bisons, and we appreciate the work you're doing here covering the Sabres for our radio.com sister station there, WGR in Buffalo. Thanks for making some time for us this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got a Pat Malacaro. You can hear his reports tonight. Sabres hosting Colorado. You'll be able to hear it at 7 o'clock here on ESPN Rochester.
Are you seeing this developing story downstate? You said you wanted to see angry Met fan Gene.
Oh. Is there something going on with the Mets?
Well, the story was this, that the Mets were being sold to Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen.
You were excited about that move.
The Wall Street tycoon.
Yeah, you were pretty
billionaire,
excited. Yeah.
But there was a weird clause in there that he couldn't take over for 5 years. But once he took over 5 years, you know, the assurances, the payroll, everything else. All of a sudden, the last 2 hours, rumors, reports, talk for the fan down in New York City that this guy is pulling out. And now Ken Rosenthal. The Mets have put out a statement. Steve Cohen reports of backing out of the deal to purchase the Mets. Quote, the parties are subject to confidentiality obligations, including a mutual non-disclosure agreement, and therefore can't comment.
Oh, man. Only a Mets fan would get mad about something that didn't even happen. You're mad at the prospect of something that happened, that could happen, that didn't happen.
Is there hope? We're going to have a real owner would spend money.
Yeah.
And not act like the small market team, the small market Mets.
You lose Carlos Beltran. You're mad about a manager who, let's face it, he didn't lose a single game while he was your manager. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. Yet you're still upset.
We got dragged into this mess. We had nothing to do with it. The Astros can celebrate a championship. They cheated. The Red Sox, they can celebrate a championship. They cheated. We hired a cheater. Okay, we're behind the eight ball.
You know, I almost feel bad for Met fan. I almost feel bad for the Jags after talking to Michael DiRocco last hour, too. It's like, God, if you're a Jags fan, yeah, you've got sunny 78 degrees days in February, but that's your team.
Did you notice how he was like, yeah, you know, hey, Jacksonville is 76 today. Okay.
Yeah. He's selling it. He's selling the benefits of Jacksonville. I don't want to poo-poo Jacksonville as a city. I haven't spent enough time there to form a real opinion, but if you're a fan of that team right now, I feel bad for you. I really do. You've got a lot of problems and an owner that's like, well, everything's fine. Let's bring back Doug Marrone for another year. We don't need to reboot. Yikes.
How would you compare this stuff here? Your new owner. Nope, forget it.
He's not
Sorry.
Your new owner. He was never
no,
your
he
new
never,
owner.
New owner.
He was never your new owner.
All right, so the deal fell through.
No, he probably just, you know, thought long and hard about it. And said, you know,
I can't blame him. Like,
I'm
either
go
I, either
do
I'm,
something else.
Either I'm the owner or I'm not the owner. Right. You want to sell to me now? Because that is kind of weird, right? Hey, we'll sell to you in 5 years.
Yeah. Well, you've got a succession plan also happening in Miami with Stephen Ross, and this is something we're going to bring up next here in NFL Appetizers. Could that succession plan include Tom Brady? Could Tom Brady potentially someday be a part owner of the Miami Dolphins? Rumors are out there. We can explain a little bit more about that.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
NFL Appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
So we've got that story. We've got Greg Olson, what is going on with that. We'll recap the news in Jacksonville, which we kind of developed on the sports bar earlier today, talking to Mike DiRocco. Ratings from Chiefs Niners continue to pour in. News from the Colts, the Redskins, and more.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.